Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Ada's December 23rd board meeting. Today is a day and a half before Christmas, and as we said, really Merry Christmas, and appreciate everybody joining us today for this very important board meeting. I will ask Alyssa to call the board.
Ms. Sandy?
Yes.
Ms. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Kendick?
Here.
Mr. Fogel?
Here.
Commissioner Anderson?
Here.
Mr. Carl?
Here.
Mr. Cruz?
Here.
All are present.
Thank you. So we have full quorum today. I'd like to go to agenda approval.
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert Fogel. I motion to approve the agenda as stated.
This is Bill Kendig. I second.
Thank you. Does anybody have any deletions, additions, questions about the agenda today? Hearing and seeing none, without objection, the agenda is approved. All right. Next up, I think... Alan, we have someone who...
Well, I'd like to ask and introduce is Governor Murkowski, who would like to give a few comments on what we're going to be reviewing today. Governor, are you there, please?
Yes, I am. And, Merry Christmas to all the participants on the other end of the line. Thank you.
You can be honest.
I can't hear you now.
Hold on, Governor.
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, well, thanks for the invitation, and I'd be happy to respond to questions after my short comments. You know, back in 1995, Congress passed the federal lease sale in Anwar, and it's been 25 years, and now under President Trump, Congress was able to pass, and he supports and signed the authorization. So it's an opportunity we haven't had for a long time. I think it's important to note, too, that my understanding is there's currently about 22 leases proposed, and these leases, to a large degree, have been put up at the request of industry that has a certain expertise and that obviously a potential purchaser like Ada doesn't have. But the state has a long history of dealing with leases starting, in the late 70s, a Prudhoe Bay sale. I remember Edgar Paul Boyko was Attorney General for the state of Alaska, very boisterous guy. Tom Kelly was commissioner of DNR, and had a very successful lease sale, which resulted in an industry and a pipeline and a revenue stream for the state that we've, become dependent upon. Well, today, the opportunity is before us. It's a short time frame, and I gather that there's a little hesitancy from the state to involve themselves because they don't feel comfortable with perhaps bidding on federal leases, particularly Ada. But I would remind Ada that the state has a long history, a successful history. There's people in state government that are very familiar with the lease process, and lots of people outside of state government that are experts in lease sales, and so if there's some degree of discomfort, I would encourage you to look down your right arm to the DNR and the private sector. But enough of that. Let me move on to why, if it's good enough for Ada, isn't it good enough for, say, the majors? Well, our ego has suffered a little bit when BP left because they have a long history in Alaska. They know what the costs of doing business are, and they're a foreign company. and decided that they're going to look other areas, and the green movement has had a significant impact on the mentality of some of the corporations as a consequence of, or as evidenced by the environmental opposition, which is even pending on this lease sale. I understand there's six or seven or maybe more environmental groups that are opposed to it. They've asked the court to cancel the leases, and that's still an exposure. But nevertheless, the point is, why is AIDA the logical instrument as opposed to the private sector? One of the other concerns that the majors are having, Exxon has seen a drop in its price valuation. Hillcorp is, I don't think, quite ready to establish itself as a major. ConocoPhillips is committed to an active program next year. But we've already seen the pressure on the inner city banks, the big banks, to encourage them not to finance projects in the Arctic for environmental reasons. Fortunately, the Comptroller of Currencies indicated that there's no discrimination allowed in selecting what customers borrow, assuming their financial capacity is equal. So we're in a difficult time relative to the industry's coming off low prices. They're starting to come up again now. That's the good news. But only AIDA can buy at 50% discount. And I assume you understand what I mean by that. That is as a consequence of the provision where the on all federal leases, the state would share 50%. So if AIDA gets leases, bids on the 22, why, I see you've got $20 million down. I think that's a little short. I would suggest that you consider bidding on all the leases, and you're going to get half your money back. And if you look at the likelihood of a major discovery and just what the USGS projections are, they're quite encouraging. And the USGS in 1998 and recently reviewed their assessment, and this is in the NO2 area specifically, I'm referring to some notes here, that there was a low of 5.7 billion barrels to a high of approximately 16 billion barrels, with a mean of 10.4 billion barrels, of which about 77.7 lie under the 1002 area. Now, if you want to put some figures on that, the state gets a 12.5 or 1/8 royalty if oil is at $50 a barrel, and you have a mean of 7.7 billion barrels. You're looking at a potential revenue stream of about $48 billion return if the leases are productive. Of course, that figure is the best of both worlds and unlikely to become a reality. But the point is, on these 22 leases, whatever you pay for them, if you bid them, you're going to get half your money back. And then the state is in a position, as they have been, to lease or sublease as industry recognizes that they can initiate exploration and hopefully production in Anwar. So these are some of the things that I think should go into weighing your decision on whether you want to bid. As I indicated, since the number of bids have been reduced down to 22, and none of us know what is likely to happen, because in the bidding, the bids have to be in, my understanding is, on the 31st at 4 o'clock, and the auction actually begins. It's not an auction exactly, it's just opening the bid. high bidders. So, you know, it's not like an oil bid that you can bid up. We just don't know who might bid. So that pretty well covers, unless you have some specific questions, my recommendation and why I feel it's an extraordinary opportunity for the state. And the future of the state, from the standpoint of oil production, is more production. You need more production, you need more leases. And these are finally approved after a long, hard struggle and a lot of dollars being spent trying to encourage the federal government to go ahead with a responsible lease sale, which they have finally done. Go ahead, Alan, if you've got any questions.
Thank you, Governor Murkowski. Dana Prues here. I will ask the board, are there any questions for Governor Murkowski on his comments? Governor, Dana again, first of all, I'd like to thank you for giving us that historical perspective on the potential leases that are theoretically.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can just barely hear you, Dana.
Okay. So we're going to move the phone here. So, one, we appreciate your comments and historical perspective, and obviously the decades of work you've done to promote all the North Slope activity and the betterment of the state. From my perspective, as growing up in Fairbanks, as you well know, we've talked about ANWR for a real long time, and at one point in time under the Clinton administration, we thought we had a go, and unfortunately that didn't happen. That being said, we're expecting a very robust public comment section coming up next. And if we do have some questions after the public comments, we may ring you back for your perspective. And I'd also like to extend you and Nancy a very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's. And I will tell you, I remember the days when we were invited to your home, growing up in Fairbanks for Christmas dinner. And we hope all is well and healthy in your family. So thank you very much, Governor.
Thank you, Dana. Very, very much, and I'd be happy to respond. And I think the standpoint of the public acceptance of ADA's activity. The logical concerns would be both why ADA and not the private sector. But I would point out again, ADA is the only one that can buy at half price. Anybody else that bids, the state gets 50%, and they're paying 100% for the leases. And then the other thing is, of course, the reluctance of industry at this time when they're, you know, just kind of reestablishing their base with the dilemmas associated with the virus and some of the other problems. But I think the prospects from a point of view of indicating that these potentially could be very, very valuable assets for the state and the future of the state depend on. So that winds me up. And thanks for the opportunity to share a few views with you.
Thank you, Governor. All right, thank you very much.
Okay, I'll sign
on. I just have one item, if I could, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Bernie.
Yeah, I would just also like to echo your comments, but thank the Governor for his continued leadership in Alaska. You know, he's successfully retired, but not real successfully, because he's constantly looking after the best interests of the state, and I'm very much appreciative of that. So thank you, Governor, and Merry Christmas to you and Nancy.
All right. Fair enough. Thanks again, folks, and good luck. And, you know, we got some tough times ahead of us. Every single development project in Alaska, I'm talking about mining, timber, oil and gas, some tourism, is under litigation. And the influence and power, Alaska's become a poster child for the causes that are generated, and we have not been effective in responding from the standpoint of our professional capabilities. We do things actually better in Alaska than anywhere in the nation as far as resource development is concerned. And if you notice, this area and some of these leases that have been recently removed are the reason of the polar bear denning, and these particular leases evidently have some exposure to that. But we can't get the environmentalists to say, okay, no more hunting on polar bears in Canada or Russia, which has a little impact on the population of the polar bears, because the non-natives cannot take polar bears for trophies anymore. So my point is one of frustration that we all share in Alaska. We're doing a pretty good job, but the environmentalists have looked at us as a big business, and they're raking in a tremendous amount of support because of impressions that are made about Alaska, and whether it's a sacred place, whatever, and the reality that we're a big piece of real estate. And I guess that's enough. I could go on for a long time, but wish you well with your meeting. Goodbye, gentlemen.
Thank you, Governor. All right, so with an approved agenda, I'm going to go to public comments. And I'm going to remind everybody that please limit your comments to 2 minutes. This is comments. It's not a question and answer period. We've reserved 90 minutes, an hour and a half, for public comments. Alyssa will be running the show here with the computer. I'll let her visit in a minute on it. We do have, all the board members do have all the public comments that were sent in by email. Written in, they're all in front of us for us to read. I've already read essentially all of them so far. And I want to thank everybody that's patiently waiting on the line. We look forward to hearing your important comments about the proposed resolutions before this board. Lucia, I will hand it over to you.
To make a public comment, please press *9 to raise your hand. When you are selected, you will be prompted to state your name.
I will note that it's 3:55.
Hi, my name is Tanya Brown, and my comments are about the impact that, you know, more development would have, fossil fuel development would have in our state, the negative impacts to the Gwich'in Nation, to the wildlife, climate crisis that is happening all over the world is contributed to through fossil fuels. We see changes in our environment, and I'm aware of it from, you know, even more with natural history of Alaska class and marine biology at our UAF. So I see the environmental changes firsthand, and then the economic recession that we're in right now. But our natural environment is directly connected to climate, wildlife, and that, and the development of renewable energy would make more sense with the melting permafrost. Governor mentioned polar bears, you know, the melting ice at the polar cap, melting snow off of mountains all over the world is impacting our water supply. So That's my comments about that, is what are the negative impacts of that, and is money more important than our life, health, safety, livelihoods, and Mother Earth? Thank you.
Thank you for those comments, and just so for everybody's notification here, I do have a stopwatch, so I will give people maybe a 10 or 15 second heads up. We do want to get as many people on the record as possible today. So I will be monitoring that very closely. It's not to slight anybody. It's actually so we get everybody that's spending their day, these hours, on the record. It's very important. So thank you. Lisa, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Doug Woodby. Mr. Chairman, can you hear me okay?
We can.
Great. Yeah, thank you. Again, my name is Doug Woodby, and I submitted written comments yesterday, and they were mostly regarding the legal issues around the meeting that you're having today, including the executive session, whether that met the state statute and the constitutionality of the expenditures that are proposed. And I just have one other legal issue to bring up here, and I'm thinking mostly about whether ADA is really qualified as an applicant under the federal lease program. You know, it's not really clear that ADA is. And what I'm afraid is going to happen here is that this is going to end up as a big legal issue, and the state's going to end up spending a bucket of money to defend itself against the inevitable lawsuits, which are likely to be highly meritorious. So that's all I wanted to say on the legal issue. And in the last minute that I have, I wanted to get into the realm of the scientific issue. And I hope you all realize that scientific consensus is clear that we have to leave the majority of the proven reserves of fossil fuels in the ground if we're to avoid the worst of the climate impacts. We're already feeling climate impacts. And what we're talking about in ANWR are unproven reserves. So I really hope that you consider future generations that we're borrowing this climate from, that we have something to leave to them that's sustainable. And that's really all I have, and thank you so much for the opportunity to comment.
Doug, we appreciate your comments, and appreciate you also putting your comments online for us to look. We've got the paperwork in front of us. Lisa, next one.
Hello, my name is Elisa Stappenfield, and I'm an energy analyst with the Alaska Public Interest Research Group and the Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition. I'm participating today because I'm deeply disturbed by the actions of ADA and the implications this conduct has on the future of the Alaskan public's interests. This has been a monumental and exhausting year for everyone. ADA has made this announcement last Friday, and though ADA does provide, you know, has provided about 5 days notice, to do so on the eve of the weekend, immediately before literally the darkest day of the year, you know, Monday, the day of which is the day that the resolution was publicly provided. To give context to this and to the import of this meeting to the Alaskan public, this is after a tumultuous election for the nation amid a global health pandemic in which Alaska is still experiencing alarming rates of infection and the effects of prolonged community isolation. I mean, this is also in an atmosphere of shrinking public oversight, fiscal chaos, and wide-ranging and far-reaching state action without meaningful public participation. The Regulatory Commission of Alaska just approved the historic BP takeover, or Hillcorp takeover of BP's Alaskan assets without public scrutiny of their capacity to handle such an enormous stake in past. I really believe that Alaskans deserve respect and stability in these incredible times. ADA's actions are neglectful at best and at worst susceptible to nefarious interpretations with respect to transparency. There are state laws and court precedents in place to protect the public interest, and ADA is bound by the Open Meetings Act. Executive sessions are expressly limited in that statute, and nothing pertaining to the state of Alaska's interest in the Arctic refuge resale or more broadly Arctic infrastructure development funding qualifies for any of the listed exemptions for executive sessions. The Open Meetings Act provides definitive guidance on the state's policy regarding public meetings. ADA exists to aid the conduct of the Alaskan public's business, the people's business. ADA's actions and deliberations are supposed to be taken openly. The people of Alaska do not yield their sovereignty to the government units that serve them. The people in delegating that authority do not give their public servants the right to decide what's good for the people to know and what's not good for them to know.
10 seconds.
The Alaskan people's rights to remain informed must be protected so that they retain control of their instruments that they've created. These are not my own statements. This is the quoted state policy in the Open Meetings Act. I really think that the way that this has, you know, been introduced and the way that it's continued is not, you know, in the public's interest, and I really believe that more participation is necessary.
Thank you for your comments. Next, please. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Haley Johnston, and I am commenting today specifically about the economic situation our state finds ourselves in as ADA plans or supposes spending $20 million on this potential lease sale. Last month, only 7,000 Alaskans were employed by oil and gas industry, whereas over half of Alaskans are employed by small businesses. I am absolutely certain that $20 million could be better spent by supporting small businesses that are struggling across this state than by bidding on a lease sale, which will effectively create a $10 million payment to the federal government. And the stated mission of ADA, or ADA, which is to help reduce unemployment or promote employment in the state of Alaska, would be far better served by taking this money and supporting small businesses as opposed to bidding on these lease sales. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Ready, Elsa? Next.
Okay. Am I on, Mr. Robert Thompson?
Go ahead.
Okay, my name is Robert Thompson. I live in Coctelic, Alaska. I'm within the borders of this Arctic refuge. I'm in opposition to a state agency bidding on these sales. In fact, I question the legality of state going to a business to compete with private industrial. Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, also, I'd like to bring to your attention that various indigenous organizations are opposed to this. It should be known that Tainan Chiefs, ICAS, Intertribal Council, Point Hope, Red Oil, 13 Bristol Bay Villages, Intertribal Council have all passed resolutions against opening up the Arctic Refuge, and that represents just about all the Native people in Alaska. So that should be considered. And it should be known about the other oil that's available in Alaska separate from the Arctic Refuge. My calculations of what's been in the news and so on has been 90 to 100 billion barrels of oil separate from the Arctic Refuge, which is enough to supply the rate of production that we've had so far in 43 years. For it could go on for another 200 years. So it's not necessary to go into this, and it's very speculative. It would be very expensive for industry to get over to the refuge. So that could definitely be considered. We're going to put this money in, and there's no way that industry is going to be putting 130 miles of additional pipeline to connect this to the Trans-Alaska pipeline. So these are all things that should be considered, and you might be spending $20 million and it just sits there. And also the state went to legal action to the oil industry to make them develop leases that they had at Point Thompson that the industry had for 30 years. So the fact that those leases were set there for 30 years and the state's policy was that some action has to be taken, this action where the state is proposing to purchase leases and sit on them until someday somebody might buy them is hypocritical, to say the least.
10 seconds, Robert.
The state has pushed industry into developing leases to make money for the state, and now they're acting contrary to their own lawsuits. So, it's very questionable how this is going to operate since 12 banks will not fund these projects. So, okay,
thank you.
I have more to say, but I just time to.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate your comments. Alicia next. I know an Alicia, I know Alyssa, I'm getting mixed up. Alyssa.
Aloha.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Lord, hear me.
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Yes, Mele Kaligamaka to all of you on the board. This is Ed and Kathleen Martin calling from the Big Island. We are Alaska residents. In fact, our family is a second generation since prior to statehood with three more. We have a great-grandson that was born last December, just now a year old. Now, the reason I called is that the federal government, there's only two ways in which the West was settled. First was the Homestead Act. The second was the mining law. The states or the federal government is abiding by the proper means for which a transfer of mineral rights would go to the private sector. Once again, government seems to get in the way of the development of mineral rights by the private sector. I question that first off. Secondly, after talking with the ADA chairman, not you, Mr. Cruz. In fact, I haven't talked to you yet, and I would hope you someday will call my wife. She's a woman-owned company that would like to bid on work in Alaska, but for other reasons, I think if you make that phone call, you'll find out why. My concern is whether or not Alaska and its people will ever realize the full value of the bundle of rights of a land ownership, which is one of the American ideals in a free republic. We have so much going wrong in this world today, folks. And in fact, the day before Christmas, maybe we shouldn't be having this meeting. Maybe we ought to be spending more time with our families. I encourage you to do this and be with them together. Do not fear this virus. I can tell you right now that my wife and I are still in Hawaii. We've been landlocked here. We're not happy about this. We have more work outside of our state than we have in our state, and that's a shame. But the whole thing is this resolution, and whereases and therefores come together to make something happen. I can tell you right now, we sent you something, and it had first, explain yourselves as to why another government entity wants to control the mineral resource and do it fully.
Ed, you have 10 seconds.
Do you have the authority and the expertise to bid on these things? And then I would like to know, is there any conflict of interests that may be occurring other than the conflict you folks have right now, the Open Meetings Act? Now, a lot of dissension, and I shouldn't be. I'd like the best for Alaskans.
Thank you. Thank you, Ed.
Yeah, hello, Chairman. I hope you can hear me all right.
What was your name, sir?
My name is Raymond O'Neill, calling from North Pole, Alaska, concerned citizen. And
go ahead, Raymond.
It's not time being provided.
Huh? Raymond, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm concerned. There's not time being provided anywhere in this process to consider all the ways that allowing ADA to throw down $20 million of the Arctic Infrastructure Development Fund on bidding for fossil fuel extraction is irresponsible. It's likely a violation of Alaska's own securities regulations, given the financing authority that the state grants ADA. And this so-called new project for the AIDF is not financing for industrial development, and justifying this such is a losing proposition given the decline of the fossil fuel industry. And despite the sinking markets, the unprecedented profits realized by the industry do not indicate a need for financing by ADA to prop them up. I'm concerned that what we're seeing is market manipulation with an attempt to seed bidding and anchor low prices on leases as a favor, as a signal to industry insiders. Alaskans should be enraged with the state's continual undercutting of the value of our resources so that out-of-state corporations can increase profits while we here in Alaska are suffering austerity budgets. If ADA is bent on issuing financing from the AIDF in such an uncertain economy, it should consider an emergency transfer of those funds to their overextended AK Cares funding program to benefit Alaska small businesses suffering this pandemic. Otherwise, financing from the AID fund should be evaluated publicly alongside other infrastructure needs at the North Slope, including engaging the parties responsible for abandoned and contaminated sites, along with financing for good-paying jobs with local contractors to clean up the mess the oil and gas industry is leaving behind on their way out of Alaska. This resolution should not be allowed to stand. Alaskans should be enraged at what's being attempted by this administration, and BLM should be admonished for compromising their own mission and public trust in this low-bid transfer of state
plans
to a dying and toxic industry. Yeah, well, I'd just like to say it's Raymond O'Neill, and I'd like to say that with due respect, I disagree emphatically with the retired governor that these developments are not encouraging, and that ADA needs to step back and cancel this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Raymond. Apologize for mispronouncing your name. Next.
Hello. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
My name is Julian Dan. I am a graduate student at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, specializing in permafrost hydrology. And I just wanted to address some of the things that Governor Murkowski brought up, in which he said at one point 6 to 7 environmental organizations are opposed to this. And I'd just like to say that that is maybe 6 to 7 lawsuits, but the number of environmental opposed to this is much, much higher than that. I'd also like to bring up something that's been alluded to by others, that all 6 major U.S. banks are in opposition to funding projects in ANWR. And just to reiterate that you are trying to patch a declining industry that the state of Alaska is already way too heavily invested in, and that you should be focused on diversifying and serving the people of Alaska. Governor Murkowski also mentioned that the USGS put forward a statement in 1998 that assessed the amount of oil within the refuge, but I'd like to clarify that this was based on seismic explorations done in 1984, almost 40 years ago, and seismic explorations have not been done since in the refuge. You guys are trying to bid on land that you do not have a very good understanding of what is there. And seismic exploration itself has a major impact, especially 3-dimensional seismic exploration activities that will be occurring this year in 2020, or have been proposed already by the Tatsuta Kanupia Corporation. Seismic exploration has immense effects on permafrost, and they are proposing to run 400-meter spaced grids across the entirety of the 1002 Marsh Creek exploration region. That results in 61,000 square kilometers worth of tundra damage. This is an enormous impact that we should not underestimate how much of an impact seismic exploration has before you even get to drilling and putting in a pipeline and all of that.
15 seconds.
For this opportunity. Oh, I would also just say that saying sacred place or whatever was a pretty insensitive thing to do.
All right. Thank you, Julian. Appreciate your comments.
Hello, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead. Speak your mind, please.
Hello, this is Kay Brown. I'm speaking as an individual Alaskan and as a former DNR director who managed the state of Alaska's oil and gas leasing program under Governors Hammond and Sheffield. I oppose the proposal to purchase leases in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge for a number of reasons. This is a dubious investment, as evidenced by lack of industry interest, which is the driving justification for ADA to bid. The world is moving on and away from oil dependence, as evidenced by the recent actions of financial institutions in our country and worldwide, dampening future prospects for financing Arctic oil development. The proposal by ADA is completely contrary to the point of issuing oil leases, which is not speculation, which this would be, but rather to identify entities with the capability and expertise to find and successfully develop the resource should any be discovered. ADA has neither the capability nor the expertise required to be a proper federal lessee, and so this is not an appropriate role for ADA. It's unwise to risk our resources in an arena where we have certainty of litigation over the federal government's rushed, flawed process. Additionally, it is unclear whether ADA is even authorized to act since the legislature failed to confirm the board appointments and is filing a lawsuit over the issue. It's unclear whether you are exceeding your authority, and I believe you need legislative authorization. I stand with those who value the sacred and irreplaceable nature of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
15 seconds, Kay.
Makes it even more imperative to leave it undeveloped. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you, Kay. Good to hear from you. Appreciate your comments.
Hello. My name is Mike DeFuke. I'm here in Fairbanks. Can you hear me all right?
Go ahead, Michael.
Excellent. Thanks so much. I'm almost mildly upset at how completely folks are cribbing the script and are well-informed. These comments, I can't agree enough that this whole process seems rushed and is wildly disrespectful of Alaskans and our time on and where we should be spending it right now. I think that joining in on this lease is an incredibly poor idea, and I would just kind of echo the comments made by some of the folks before me, but I'd like to bring one other thing up. I took a quick look at your website. I went through your about page, which is very succinct and short, which is great, and it mentions diversification no less than three times, including in your statement about what you're here for. So I just want to understand why, at a time when the entire world is moving away from this industry, when the banks won't fund it, when the private industry won't invest in it, and when you can't get in, you can't be guaranteed that you're going to get insurers to insure it, and you don't know whether the federal government is going to grant the drilling permits to drill there, you would want to continue to invest in and concentrate the investment in Alaska in the industry, in this industry, and not in an industry that looks forward. It looks like looking at the future 6 months ahead without thinking about what's a year ahead or 2 years ahead or decades ahead for the future of Alaskans and Alaskan industry. And it ignores the fact that this whole industry is fueling the global climate crisis, at the forefront of which is this state. Every Alaskan is experiencing climate change now. Not in the near future, not in decades, now. And it is literally dozens of plaintiffs. I'm looking at 15 states currently on case number. Oh, I can't even find the case number on that one. There's too many of them. And then another three organizations in case 320CB-205, and that's a preliminary injunction being demanded by the National Audubon.
Michael.
And case 320CB-204, which is headed by the Gwich'in Steering Committee. So there couldn't possibly be more people opposed to this. 40,000 written letters submitted to the DOI in opposition to this lease sale alone. So I don't understand how you could move forward on this. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments, Michael. Listen.
Mr. Chairman of the Board, thanks for the opportunity to put my thoughts on the record. My name is Rick Whitbeck. I've lived in Alaska for over 35 years. I'm testifying today in a personal capacity, not a professional or organizational one. As you all know, Alaska's very entrance in the United States was predicated on having a standalone economy so as not to be a burden to the U.S. We've done well by taking our God-given natural resources and developing them in balance with world-class environmental stewardship. Alaska's waited a long time for Anbar to open. It's been a vicious fight for nearly 40 years and will victoriously culminate with the lease sale and bid opening on January 6th. With an incoming administration hell-bent on destroying Alaska's energy-driven economic future, the time is now to take a stand and have bids on every possible tract offered for leasing. So I applaud ADA's actions under Resolution G2031 to place minimum bids on as many acres as your budget will allow, and I wish the budget was bigger. Regardless of what you've heard so far today, the near continuous fighting from the anti-jobs, anti-reality, anti-Alaskan, anti-energy independence, pro-Chinese and anti-American, pro-destitution, pro-weakened American stature, pro-wildlife above human life, leave-it-in-the-ground eco-extremists. There's a bright, necessary, and long-term need and future for oil and gas, and ANWR should be a keystone for America moving forward. For every ENGO opposing it and bank kowtowing to unsubstantiated fear rather than facts, there are thousands of Alaskans who support 1002 development. So bid. Bid now. Bid to your maximum ability. Bid as if Alaska's economic future depends on it. Because if Biden gets his way, a man who, as a side note, hasn't been to Alaska since he eulogized Ted Stevens and could care less about us as a people, and whose plans will decimate our state, this lease sale very well may be the end of Alaska's federal development opportunity. So I thank you again for your time. I wish each of you a Merry Christmas. And for the radical environmentalists on the line, America's energy workers simply say, in spite of all you do to thwart them, you're fracking welcome.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate those comments. What do we got next, listen? Can you hear us?
John Gadekey,
Fairbanks. Yes, same name again, sir.
This is John Gadekey calling from Fairbanks.
Thank you, John. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling today to once again urge the board and staff to be more transparent and accountable, as your bylaws demand. I've had a front row seat the past 7 years watching Ada stumble and lurch into the Amber Road zombie mega project, hemorrhaging millions and still not even meeting with Doyon to discuss usage rights. So how you think that you can go into the 1002 and help, based on what I've seen, boggles the mind. The comments from so many people today that are educated and attentive, I really hope you listen to. You have consistently deceived the villagers from Evansville to Allicacket in my area and talked to you to Kobuk with last-minute meetings during times when as few people as possible can attend, and today is no different. You've become the poster child of what Ada is not supposed to do. You're supposed to represent Alaskans and work to increase job opportunities, diversifying job opportunities. People used to be able to call into these meetings and talk about statewide concerns for at least 3 minutes. Now you narrow the agenda and the amount of time that Alaskans, the people that you're working for, can call in. You appear to fear public comment and the needs of remote Alaskans, but you'll happily dredge up voices that agree with you and give them unlimited time to spin straw into gold with other people's money. That's bad business, and I truly think if you were actually spending your own money, you'd be far more accountable. Please, take one responsible project that will benefit Alaskans, vet it, and move forward. Businesses across Alaska, these are Alaskans living in Alaska, are barely holding on, and you're taking off like a dog after a squirrel, with roads, mines, and leases in all directions. You can't possibly pay for all of these different things. Audit yourselves, please, and do not think that you can outbid and outbuild the free market. It just doesn't make sense, and I think the previous callers have been eloquent about it. Thank you for listening, and I really hope that you do.
Thank you, John.
Hello, this is Jody Potts calling from Fairbanks, and I just want to speak in opposition of the resolution and Ada bidding on these lease sales. There's a lot of reasons why. As an Alaskan, born and raised on this land, the Arctic Refuge is very sacred to my people, the Gwich'in, and we are adamantly opposed of development in this area, and I really don't appreciate Governor Murkowski making light of the sacred land for our people. I also think that it's really short-sighted of this state agency, ADA. Climate change is impacting Alaska and the Arctic more than any other place. And so, you know, we see a lot of agencies trying to aid communities and mitigate the climate change impacts. And there's a lot of money going towards that and a lot of communities and people suffering from climate impacts. And I just think that it is in the not in the best interest of Alaskans. And also, I also feel really strongly about, you know, a state agency not supporting all Alaskans. There's huge need in our state right now. Alaska, as a state, having been so financially hit when the oil prices went down. And, you know, for your agency to go further and bid on these lease sales when oil has not sustained our economy or our future, not thinking about future generations, I think is very unwise. And actually, I feel like it's really unethical because we need to start thinking forward into what we are leaving for other Alaskans down the road. And I just really encourage you guys to look towards more sustainable economic
development. 10 seconds, please.
Especially around renewables, I think that would be the way to go. But definitely, Ada, you're going down the wrong path. Masicho.
Thank you, Judy. Go ahead.
Hello, I'm Rick Steiner in Anchorage, and I'd just like to touch on 2 points. First of all, I agree with many speakers that your public process here has been insufficient, and I suspect you all know it. Regardless, your draft resolution proposing that the state, through its instrument ADA, bid on federal oil leases in the Arctic Refuge is both inappropriate and likely ineligible under federal law. It's the clear intent of Congress that federal oil leases be offered to the private sector, not state government. And your proposed resolution really betrays the free market capitalist conservative principles that so many of you espouse. If the leases have commercial value, the private market will reflect that. But by trying to avoid embarrassment from little industry interest in the sale, for the state to now bid on the leases itself would be folly and farce and far more embarrassing. Lastly, many of us do not think that ADA would qualify as an eligible bidder for these federal oil leases anyway. On that, for the record, I just filed a formal complaint with the Department of Interior's Office and Inspector General asking it to urgently investigate this issue, as we believe federal law does not permit state governments or agencies thereof to bid on federal oil leases. We believe BLM's statement of sale does not strictly conform with federal law on this matter, and the state and ADA would not qualify as a bidder. I asked the IG to instruct BLM to hold in abeyance any ADA bids on January 6th. Until it confirms whether the state is or is not a qualified bidder. We think very clearly it will not be. The Inspector General responded that my complaint will be assigned to an investigator or agent as soon as possible. And so, folks, instead of giving Alaskans a lump of tar in our holiday stockings, do the right thing here. Vote this resolution down and spare the state further humiliation here. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Rich.
Hi, this is Ken Kastner. I live in Homer. First of all, I want to object to not running this meeting in accordance with the Open Meetings Act. This is not the first time I've levied this complaint, but the board continues to carry on like it's a private firm rather than an agency dealing with public funds using a well-established public process. The resolution before you today should first be publicly debated by the board. If the motion passes, then by all means, the business elements can be discussed in private. In choosing to enter into an executive session prior to public debate, you are signaling that the decision has already been made with all the details worked out. I'm not in favor of the state using public resources to go into the oil business. It's a classic case of mission creep. While ADA is organized to provide financing to established businesses, this venture boards on risky speculation. As a political gesture of creating a market where one may not necessarily exist. It will also place the state in the position of having to fulfill the requirements of the leases. That may mean further investment in exploration and infrastructure construction or entering into joint venture development deals with businesses we've never heard of. It's disappointing to me that in advising you, the Department of Law has chosen to turn a blind eye to the Open Meetings Act. In fact, the only upside to today's meeting is that it has further exposed this agency's culture of secrecy and chronic disregard to complying with a clearly written law that requires an observable and transparent process. Thank you for my 2 minutes.
Thank you, Ken.
Good afternoon. My name is Carlin Ichak. My Anupiaq name is Naveak Ichuahak. I come from a long line of Ichuahak family members from the Arctic, and I'm calling in today as the Alaska State Director for the Wilderness Society. I'm calling in today to ask this board to take no action on this resolution. Do not take this vote today. We are in the middle of a pandemic, and AIDA's public input process needs to be better than giving last-minute 48 hours of notice to provide comments. This board is not following the protocols necessary for allowing adequate public comments, and you are depriving the shareholders and the stakeholders of their due process rights of timely notice and opportunity to be heard. In addition, this board is violating your own enabling statute and your internal investment policies and procedures by failing to seek legislative approval. This is a violation of your fiduciary duties under Alaska law. This violates your statutory purpose, which is to finance others, not to finance yourselves. This proposed action is made more unconscionable since Alaska is in the middle of a financial crisis and AIDA could be using these funds to help others rather than for self-dealing. This state can't afford the bid, nor the rental costs. The Arctic Refuge is a majestic landscape on which people and animals alike depend. The Alaska Native communities like the Gwich'in and Inupiaq have relied on and protected the refuge for millennia. The refuge sustains our communities, cultures, and way of life. The Honorable Governor Murkowski said, whether it is a sacred place or whatever, by disregarding this area as a sacred place is the same as disregarding the indigenous people themselves. AIDA's lack of due diligence is grossly negligent, and the state has all the financial risk, especially knowing that the Biden administration is soon going to protect the coastal plain.
15 seconds.
This is widely inappropriate, fiscally irresponsible, and legally suspect. AIDA should not be bidding in the coastal plain lease sale. Do not take this vote today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comment, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Lori Walton. I'm a 40-year Alaska resident. I live in Fairbanks, Alaska. I am strongly opposed to AIDA using $20 million, and as Murkowski said, urged you to spend more of the state's money for oil leases in Anwar. I have four main reasons. We here in Alaska are ground zero for climate change caused by the burning of fossil fuels. We need to wake up and stop investing in fossil fuels. We are in an economic, health, and climate crisis in this state. We need to diversify our economy, not sink more money into a dangerous business that's killing us all. The short notice for public comments, the dubious behaviors that I've learned more about since listening on this are really very frustrating. I'm spending my time before the holiday waiting to talk to you when I have other things I'd much rather be doing. And the utter disregard for the wishes of the native peoples of this land who have taken care of this great state of Alaska for, like the gentleman before me said, millennial years and years, centuries. They have cared for this land and kept it in beautiful condition. And we owe them respect, and we should take lessons from their way of learning and being. And I just am so strongly opposed to this AIDA action. And that's about all I have to say. I'll save my time for someone else to speak. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the comments.
Hello, my name is Shannon Donahue. I'm the Executive Director of the Great Bear Foundation, phoning in from Haines. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'm commenting in opposition to AIDA's proposal to bid on the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge oil leases. This is an irresponsible expenditure of state resources, and AIDA's last-minute proposal is denying Alaskans meaningful opportunity to weigh in. The Great Bear Foundation is concerned with the direct impact of oil development on the Gwich'in people and their ongoing relationship with the porcupine caribou herd, and the land and clean water that sustain people and wildlife. We are also concerned with the broader impact of oil development on our climate, affecting everybody. Here in Haines, we are reeling from unprecedented climate change-related rainfall that has devastated our community, resulting in massive landslides that have destroyed homes and taken the lives of two bright, beloved community members who remain missing in the flood. Ada's insistence on forcing controversial and unpopular oil development in Anwar further contributes to anthropogenic climate change and ignores the very real pain of communities like Haines that are suffering the wounds inflicted by the climate crisis. Ada was established to diversify Alaska's economy with an eye towards financial sustainability. We've reached a point in human history where financial sustainability is inextricably tied to environmental sustainability. As oil companies and banks shy away from Anwar, Ada should take notice. Climate change will only cost the state money in the long run. There is a great opportunity for Ada to seek innovative ways to diversify our economy without causing harm to our communities and our natural systems. At a time of overlapping crises, Ada should prioritize boosting local economies and local businesses. Sustainable growth starts with communities. I suggest that the board take some time to reflect on what you're doing and take this opportunity to reimagine an Alaskan economy that sustains our people, this great land, and our fish, wildlife, and clean water. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment, Shannon. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Bree Goldstein, and I live in Fairbanks, Alaska. I wanted to comment that you do not bid on oil and gas leases in the Arctic Refuge on January 6th. If the goal of ADA is to promote, develop, and advance economic growth and diversification in Alaska, then bidding on oil leases is a bad allocation of funds. Alaska relies heavily on oil, and we are already struggling to keep up with the budget during a pandemic resulting in crashing oil prices. Instead of putting more money into the oil industry, ADA should focus on transitioning to a diverse economy beyond fossil fuels. The extraction of fossil fuels is leading to irreversible climate change, affecting all Alaskans more drastically than other parts of the country. Additionally, drilling in this region will have disproportionate effects on the indigenous communities who have lived in a sacred relationship with the land and the animals there for thousands of years. This rushed Arctic Refuge oil lease sale is projected to emit an additional 4 million tons of carbon dioxide, further compromising Arctic people's way of life and violating their basic human rights. Additionally, the continued reliance on fossil fuels can be costly. Climate adaptation projects are projected to cost $30 billion. And in accordance with your goal of advancing economic growth and diversification, please consider other revenue sources. Focus on the creation of meaningful and sustainable jobs that promote renewable energy rather than ones that contribute to the destruction of the planet. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Bree. Next up, please.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, my name. Hello.
Go ahead.
My name is Diane. Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. My name is Diane Preston. I am a 72-year-old resident of Fairbanks, Alaska, and I am calling to oppose this idea of ADA buying or bidding on oil and gas leases in the Anwar. First off, I want to say I think it's pretty unconscionable to have a short few days process for public comment on such an important issue, particularly during the pandemic and holiday week. I don't think that speaks well for you, those of you who thought you could do this kind of under the radar. I disagree with Governor Murkowski. Things have changed drastically in the last 25 years. 25 years ago, living in Alaska was a different experience than it's been in the last few, and that's because of climate change. Climate change is real. It's accelerating. It's already causing billions of dollars in the U.S. as well as in Alaska. We have villages falling into the sea. We have permafrost melting with village houses settling. We have landslides in Southeast, as was just mentioned. And what Alaska really needs to do is diversify our economy and get away from a fossil fuel extraction economy. So even the oil companies are beginning to understand that oil is not the future. ADA needs to invest in projects that reflect a new economy. Wind power, hydro, solar, geothermal, tidal power, they are all viable in different parts of Alaska and can help us power Alaska, and they all need investment. There's many places that $20 million could be used to make us more sustainable in the future. I also think it's imperative to preserve the coastal plain of Anwar. This is the ancestral homeland of the Gwich'in people, and it's part of the last large undeveloped ecosystems in the world. There are few places left in the world like this, and it is so important both for migratory birds and all of the other animals that are up there. There is ample acreage available elsewhere on the North Coast for oil development, and to destroy this fragile ecosystem and the livelihood of people who have depended on this land for years, forever, for just a few months' worth of oil is foolish and not responsible. I believe they estimated it would be 6 months or less of oil. AIDA does not have the best track record of investing in viable projects. I worked in Delta Junction and remember well the boondoggle of the Delta Barley Project, so I would encourage you to pay more attention to what you're investing in. So to invest in oil leases in Anwar when the world is moving away from fossil fuel as a matter of survival is, in my opinion, a fool's errand, and I urge you to find other more responsible projects in which to invest. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Next, please.
Hello, my name is Chandler Kemp. I'm calling from Juneau, Alaska. And I'm calling in opposition to ADA's proposed bids on oil and gas leases as described in Resolution G20-31. I want to build on what the previous caller said, and I want to ensure that the board considers the risk of its investment becoming a stranded asset. Existing oil and gas infrastructure worldwide is inconsistent with the goals defined in the Paris Climate Agreement. Specifically, committed emissions from existing infrastructure are likely to result in the severe consequences of climate change described by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Developing new oil and gas infrastructure will increase the gap between stated climate goals and fossil fuel investment. So while the U.S. is not presently committed to the Paris Climate Agreement, President-elect Biden has stated that the country will rejoin the agreement in the coming year. Therefore, investing in new oil and gas exploration will result in stranded assets if U.S. and international actors adhere to their agreements. So in addition to the cultural and environmental concerns expressed by earlier callers, I would request the ADA consider this risk carefully, that their investment will result in stranded assets due to their bids on leases in our National Wildlife Refuge. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those comments. Next, please.
Good evening. Can you guys hear me okay?
We can hear you just fine.
All right. Good evening. My name is Odin Miller. I live in Fairbanks, Alaska, 99709. Thank you for the opportunity to comment. I just want to say I am literally driving around right now doing some last-minute Christmas shopping, and the idea of having a two-day public comment period on, like, the last few days before Christmas is really, it's really an insult to me as an Alaskan, and I feel like it's a violation of my civic right to participate in the public process. This is not nearly enough time. When I found out about the public comment period yesterday morning, I was working all day. In the last 5 minutes it was open, I managed to dash something off. And that's kind of how I feel again right now. It feels like this is being intentionally done in a way to discourage public participation. And I'm heartened to see that there's such a vigorous discussion here. I wanted to say Frank was out of touch when he was governor, and I hear that he's even gotten more out of touch over the years. I echo some other callers in saying that it's deeply insulting and insensitive to refer to the Arctic Refuge as that sacred place. If there were going to be oil drilling rigs parked in the Vatican in front of St. Peter's Cathedral, that would be, really a deep affront to a lot of people. And I think in the same way, the Gwich'in Nation holds the Arctic Refuge as a sacred land, and encouraging and promoting drilling there is really maybe in the interest of some Alaskans, but it's really an insult to a lot of Alaskans. I'm not a radical environmentalist, as another caller suggested. I'm somebody who has a one-year-old daughter, and I really want, when she gets to be my age, I want her to have a future. And I don't want Alaska to be saddled with billions and billions of dollars worth of debt because of the cost of climate change and reckless economic speculation by corporations like Ada that are supposed to act in the public interest. And so I would urge you not to approve spending this money on bidding on these leases. This is gambling with Alaskans' money. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Kathy Walling.
Go ahead, Kathy. We can hear you.
Thank you. Thank you. Kathy Walling from Fairbanks, Alaska. And I am choosing to cede some of my own time to lift up one of the still living elders in our midst and her comments. So these are comments from Sue Dean, who is currently in her 90s. And she wants for the record it to be stated that if these hardworking and inspired leaders of the Alaska Conservation Society, like Jimmy Wood, Billia Hunter, Les, and Terry Barrick, and Fred Dean were still alive, they would speak strongly against drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. We, Alaska Conservation Society members, were very excited when Olaf and Marty Neary and their team left Fairbanks in the 1950s to choose the sacred land that, with much hard work, was to become the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. They were convinced by the millions of birds and mammals who found what they needed to bring forth and raise their young, and by the Gwich'in people's knowledge of this irreplaceability to maintain their way of life. Today, when oil is no longer what our planet needs for energy, but when the untouched aspect of this land is so rare, let us make the wiser choice to allow it to remain the refuge it was meant to be. And I really invite you to really take into your heart the words of this elder, as well as really upholding all of the children, the future generations in our midst, and hold
15 seconds.
Precious, this sacred place. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Melissa? Next, please. You're on.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. My name is Matthew Jackson. I'm from Ketchikan. I'm a third-generation Alaskan, and my grandparents have actually had Frank and Nancy over for dinner when they lived in Ketchikan many years ago. And so with all due respect to the former governor, I want to point out kind of a fallacy in his talking point, which seems to be the main talking point for Ada to invest in this coastal plain, which is that Ada will get half off because all half of lease revenues come back to the state. But if there were economically viable leases to bid on, the state would receive that revenue anyways. So kind of setting up that false expectation that we'll get a half-price bid is actually not true, because we're still spending more than the state would receive as an outside entity bid on it. So rather than gaining income, we would actually be losing income rather than actually gaining any new revenue from the state. And that seems to be the chief merit in that former governor offers to Ada, that, oh, you can bid on it half price, but that's really not true. You're just shuffling around public money instead of actually receiving revenue. And I really want to lift up all of the really strong testimony that other people have given in this meeting. There's many economic and legal questions about the wisdom of Ada, a public entity, getting involved in the Arctic Refuge. And I think that this kind of used car sales thinking of, oh, you know, if we bid it in ourselves, we'll get half back, is unwise when what we're really talking about is a ticket to decades of litigation. You know, the actual resale itself is in court right now. Some of your the validity of some of your commissioners is being challenged. You're being sued by the state legislature because some of the appointees to this very commission have not been approved by the legislature. The sale is being challenged by the BLM. It will be challenged for years and years if it ever comes through. So I really encourage you to spend your time and energy investing in a meaningful public process where people have the chance to be heard, to learn about your ideas, and to use your limited funds and time to invest in worthy projects that would benefit all Afghans. And that is all. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Go ahead, please.
Hello. This is, yes, hi. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Hi, Dana, Bernie, Anna, Bill, Julie, Julie Fan, and Albert. Thank you for letting me speak. My name is Julianne Warren. Really appreciate all my community's other comments. Mine is more of a moral philosophical narrative. It's hard to change, but climate change is demanding a correction to business as usual, and we can do it together supporting each other. Sometimes uncertainties tempt people into trying to control things. Power for power's sake must eventually become tyrannic, as is evident in AB's resolution for bidding on refuge leases, given that morally, economically, climate, prudentially, legally, all these issues are problematic. ADA's idea represents power speaking desperation for itself, not for indigenous peoples I hear, nor settlers as I am, not for people. Who wants oil and gas itself, or are jobs more important? What is needed, reliable energy or oil and gas? A fossil fuel-driven economy or flourishing economies? Oil and gas or thriving caribou? Oil and gas or clean food? Oil and gas or a habitable climate? Oil and gas or Kuching and Inupiat human rights, justice, and the wisdom of time immemorial life ways? Oil and gas or Itzik Wasan Gwandaigabit? Oil and gas or neighborly love? Whose neighbor am I? Whose neighbor are you? Or how about putting it this way? Is it worth selling your own or someone else's birthright for a possible bowl of buried fossil hydrocarbons and the toxic and climate-altering consequences of getting and burning them? Money isn't edible either. We cannot keep all of these spoken and not yet spoken values if we keep on prioritizing oil and gas. This is chemistry, physics, and other material reality speaking, not just my or anyone else's opinion. Are Alaskans grit and determination, or are Alaskans oil and gas? Are Alaskans about power for power's sake, or liberty? How about liberty added to the list of values? Liberty is rooted in healthy land, relationships, a habitable climate. How free does sickness make anyone? With grit and determination, without oil and gas, together Alaskans can make good things happen for generations to come. Sitting with each other in disagreements and conflicts can be keys to moving forward. Can we together put domination and activities that dominate others off the table and shift the question? No one needs to be able to see the future to know that the only way there is a 100% chance that oil and gas won't harm Itzhak Wasan Gwandaigabit, the Arctic refugees.
Thank you for your comments. Go ahead.
Real quick, calling from Anchor.
We missed your name. Could you state your name again? Are you online? Hello? Can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. Go ahead.
All right. I got a cat. Is it for Christmas? And it was Christmas.
You're fading in and out there. Could we get your name for the record?
Yeah, fine.
Go ahead to the next one. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Great. My name is Marie Dushevsky. I'm calling on the unceded ancestral lands of the Dene people. I grew up in Fairbanks on the lands of the Lower Tanana Dene. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, and I am asking that you dismiss this resolution, and at the very least that you postpone voting until you establish that Ada can actually be a qualified bidder. And I ask that you proceed in accordance with the state constitution, and I believe that requires legislative approval for this sort of consideration of bidding on leases. I grew up in Fairbanks, and I have been to the Arctic Refuge countless times. It's a huge part of my life. When I was 16, I started to research the politics around its formation as a national wildlife refuge, as well as the proposed oil extraction. So now I'm 33, and I've spent half my life fighting this fight. And I'm still weeping because of the names of the elders that were brought into the space. And I speak now in honor of Ginny and Celia Wood, my Fairbanks grandmothers. And I speak more importantly for the indigenous rights that this is threatening. The Inupiaq and Gwich'in leaders, who you've already heard from, said it so well. And a lot of the points that I have to make here have already been said, so I'm going to skip ahead in my notes to the $30 billion that climate adaptation and mitigation is projected to cost the state of Alaska. What Ada is considering right now is a very bad investment. This is not the time to double down on oil. Former Governor Frank Murkowski, when you speak of a frustration that we all share in Alaska, you are wrong. However, you are right when you say that Alaska is becoming a poster child. We are the poster child of climate injustice, and yet Ada wants to continue to invest what is causing the climate catastrophe that is already threatening people's lives and livelihoods. I want to envision a thriving future for all Alaskans and future generations, and oil is threatening that in my own lifetime. We are not eco-extremists. I am not a radical environmentalist. And Rich, you are right. Alaska's economic future depends on this. We must diversify beyond fossil fuels, and instead of extracting, invest in regenerative economies for all. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those comments. I will note that it's 5 o'clock. We'll do another 30 minutes. Extend it just a little bit. Make sure we get as many as we can get in. So go ahead. Go ahead if you can hear us.
Hello, this is Jessica Girard. I am the executive director of the Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition. FCAC is a growing group of Fairbanksans concerned about the moral, spiritual, and scientific duty to take action and elevate voices calling for responsibility to each other, the earth, and all living beings. We are not radical environmentalists. We are local partners and members of a community working for climate adaptation and climate justice. It is the opinion of SCAC that Ada has strategically rushed this process in order to minimize public input on a decades-long battle over lease sales in the Arctic Refuge. Moreover, it's obviously inappropriate and likely illegal for Ada to discuss anything about the refuge lease sales in an executive session. As a state agency established to promote economic opportunity for the state and its residents, bidding $20 million on oil leases is a poor allocation of Ada's $35 million Arctic Infrastructure Fund. In a time of economic recession, climate chaos, and a global health pandemic, Ada should be working with tribal and local governments to diversify revenue sources rather than increasing dependence on the dying industry of fossil fuels. With this expenditure, due to existing policies, according to Dermot Cole, instead of getting 90% of the lease sale money or even 50%, the state would get nothing. Alaskans have a rapidly closing window of opportunity to build an economy that is based on regeneration instead of extraction to achieve healthy livelihoods for workers and for communities. We stand in solidarity with workers and encourage Ada to support those workers' transition off of oil and gas. SCAC encourages Ada to invest locally on local-driven solutions. And furthermore, it is totally inappropriate and violates the trust of Alaskans that you have provided only 3 working days before this meeting, 90 minutes of public testimony, and sharing the draft only after public pressure. This is reprehensible, and we demand you start investing in locally driven economies such as broadband and renewable energy. We encourage
you
to immediately stop this process.
So, as a reminder, everybody, please try to limit to 2 minutes. We want to make sure everybody gets in. The last thing I want to do is move on to the next comment person that let people finish up. I try to give everybody as much heads up, 10, 15 seconds as possible. Lisa, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Can you hear us?
Hey, this is Luke Mel. Can you hear me?
We can hear you great. Go ahead, sir.
My name is Luke Mel. I'm a resident in Anchorage. I appreciate the opportunity to talk today. I am one of the thousands of homegrown environmentalists that grew up here and love that aspect of Alaska. And the same question everybody else has got, Murkowski brought it up, like, is ADA the right entity to do this without an appropriate area of expertise? And for me, that's an easy no. And that can be based on the current price per barrel. That can be based on, like, again, using Murkowski's term, the reluctance of industry. Like, what does that tell you? The glitch in opinion and the many native voices that we've heard today, I think those deserve more weight, really, than any others. And even the state opinion, put it to vote. Give it more than 48 hours. Public opinion was opposed to Pebble. Public opinion is opposed to Amber. And I just think there's too much to lose. I'll keep it short so that somebody else can have a chance, but thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate those comments. Go ahead. Can you hear us? Hello? Can you hear us? Hello? Let's go move on to the next one, please.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, my name is Bruce Urban.
Go ahead.
I'm a concerned Alaska Native Dene from the interior Alaska, who stands with the Gwich'in and Inupiaq people in opposition to the passing of this resolution. Anwar is sacred. We need to be more responsible as Alaskans and defend Anwar and protect the Arctic. This resolution is not just investing in oil, it is investing in genocide. Anwar provides a home for the porcupine caribou, identity for the Inupiaq and Gwich'in people, should never be considered a commodity. If you take a moment and think about it, about this from an Alaskan Native perspective, you are proposing destroying a way of life that has sustained thousands of generations. We need to start investing in our future for all Alaskans. What are we going to leave for our grandchildren? We need to uplift all our Alaska people, move towards a new and just transition. Thank you for allowing me to speak today, Anit.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your comments. Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hello?
We can hear you. Go ahead. Can you
Hello?
Hear us? Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
This is Sarah James. You could hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, okay. I barely hear you.
We can hear you just fine. Go ahead.
I'm an elder from Arctic Village. I'm an elder from Arctic Village, Alaska. I've been here, living here, off the land for, my people have been here for thousands of years. And we always protect the cabin ground for the porcupine caribou, where the caribou people. This is the time any of you was born or even in Alaska. So we're still against the gas, oil, anything of activity, and we haven't changed our mind. This is a short notice. There's Colgate going on, and there's a pandemic for quarantine and climate change. Just now, we changed from 45 to really quick warm weather, and it's supposed to like that for the animal, too. That's real. Polar bear said, they say they're going to protect polar bear off the offshore drilling. No offshore drilling because polar bear is endangered species, but they don't say nothing, but only 1/10 of coastline that's protected now is the 1002, the coastal plain of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Legal term, our legal term is take a place where the life began. And then they say the polar bear offshore will be protected. But they do get on the 1002A. They do dim there. They keep birds there. I don't know. They say they keep track of all the polar bears and they will watch out for it. That's impossible to do because they don't know if the non-marked one going to come in. So all that just don't add up. And they're trying to add up a National Petroleum Reserve with Arctic Coastal Plain, the 1002. It's a totally different plain. This site is huge plain. This one is very limited plain for birds to have pin for porcupine caribou.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Carrie Stevens. I'm calling from Fairbanks, Alaska. I just wanted to, I don't have any new comments. Everyone has shared them. But I do just want to add to record that the acts of the state and this agency are completely unconscionable. They're embarrassing. They're corrupt. They're anti-democratic. Thank you for wasting my time and my money in this process of which I have no voice. We're in a fiscal crisis as a state. I am worried that my son will have a failure of education and the state is not meeting its basic public safety and educational mandates. And yet you waste our time on this foolish and corrupt and unconscionable act as if we're all fools with our money, our resources that have been stored by Alaskan Natives and tribal governments for 10,000 years. When will the state recognize that Alaska Native people are going nowhere? And change her attitude to a positive working environment instead of one of lawsuits, threats, and continued genocide of the people of this place, and start a new conversation that doesn't demean every single one of us every single day.
10 seconds.
I hope that you can please invest in our future.
Thank you for your comments. Go ahead. You're online.
Hi, this is Melinda Chase. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine. Thank you. Go ahead.
I'm calling today and talking to you from my personal perspective, informed by the work that I do. But this is a personal perspective. And I thank Carrie Stevens, the prior speaker, for succinctly stating many of the issues that have been raised already, so I won't go over those, but she definitely has raised the emotions that I feel in terms of wasting my time tonight, as I need to be out, like Odin said, and be taking care of holiday time. But I do want to add a couple of really significant points for you and your roles there. I am totally opposed to this bid process, and while we are looking at the 1002 area and the impact on our porcupine caribou herd, this decision will impact all of Alaska. It impacts it through the climate impacts and the increased warming that it will add to if development happens, and it is impacting our subsistence, mixed subsistence cash economy. In the last 5 years, between 2014 and 2019, we have had some of the most record-breaking temperatures ever, which have led to fish die-offs. So, and it's led to those landslides that have been talked about. It's led to flooding. It's led to erosion. And all those are costs. If you look at the National Climate Assessment, or there's a whole chapter on Alaska that key message says we need proactive adaptation in Alaska, and it would reduce both short-term and long-term costs and generate social and economic opportunities. We have some of the best climate scientists, along with the most knowing indigenous people who are still highly connected to our land. I happen to be one from one of our interior communities.
10 seconds.
And you guys could be taking advantage of the expertise that is available through our International Arctic Research Center and the reports that have been done on the direction that we need to be adapting and moving on and diversifying our economy, and that we have a responsibility not just to Alaska, but to the rest of the world.
Thank
and the genocide is not just to people, it is to...
Okay.
Hi, can you hear me?
You can. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Jordan Ebert. I've lived in Anchorage on the 9LAN my whole life, and I'm a senior in the Environment and Society Major of Science, the Environment and Society Bachelor of Science degree program at the University of Alaska Anchorage. I urge you not to bid $20 million on Arctic refuge leases. This is not in the best interest of the people, especially the Gwich'in and Inupiat people, the ecology of the Arctic refuge and the global climate, or the Alaskan economy. Just think what $20 million could do to fund renewable energy instead of more oil drilling. ADA was established by the legislature to promote economic opportunity for the state and its residents by diversifying the economy. Bidding $20 million on oil leases is a poor allocation of ADA's $35 million Arctic Infrastructure Fund, which could instead be used to actually diversify revenue and energy sources rather than increase dependence on fossil fuels. I urge ADA to use its funds to diversify beyond fossil fuels. ADA could create meaningful jobs that last for generations by phasing out fossil fuels in favor of renewable energy so that we can continue to enjoy high quality of life without degrading our planet further. Alaska has so much potential for wind, hydro, and other forms of renewable energy, and it's completely possible and absolutely necessary for us to transition to these energy sources. And next, there's the issue of indigenous rights, which other people have brought up. For thousands of years, the Gwich'in and Inupiat people have lived in relationship to these lands, and especially the caribou. Arctic people's lives are already in danger due to a rapidly warming climate, and now the Arctic refuge is under attack. This threatens ecosystems that are crucial for local food security as well as the health of our planet, and it goes against the federal protection of these sacred lands granted by Congress 60 years ago. This Arctic refuge oil lease sale is projected to emit an additional 4 million tons of carbon dioxide, which hurts everyone, and especially the Gwich'in and Inupiat people whose ancestral homelands these are. In my short 22 years of life, I've watched climate change unfold before my eyes, and I urge you to see reason. Look at the science, look at the scientific evidence, listen to the people, think of the wildlife and the future generations of people who need habitat on this earth. It's not radical to move away from fossil fuels, which are scarce and environmentally and humanly damaging. Investing in renewable energy instead is actually the most ethical and financially sensible thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Adam Babcock.
I live in Anchorage, Alaska. Back in 1995, I was working seasonally in Alaska, writing letters to my senators, fighting this very same fight. I speak in strong opposition to ADA's resolution to bid on ANWR drilling. I think from everyone else's comments tonight, it's pretty obvious that ADA's public participation process here is pretty corrupt. The Trump administration may be influencing it, maybe pushing it. I know that they made this all possible. The reason we're at this point today is because the Trump administration has opened ANWR after this decades-long fight. I've been living in Alaska full-time for many years now, and I'm surprised we're still making this same fight. I'm surprised that Alaska still is latching onto oil as its sole economic development. As many other callers have pointed out, we need to diversify. We need to focus on renewables. The one image I want to leave you guys with, you as the board of ADA, I want you over these holidays to go home, look in your children's eyes, look in your grandchildren's eyes, and tell them, yes, I am the one who enabled this final destruction of a sacred place, one of the last vestiges of wilderness in the world, certainly the last large-scale ungulate migration of the porcupine caribou herd, certainly the last of its kind on the North American continent. I want you to look into your children's eyes, your grandchildren's eyes, and say, I am the one who mortgaged your future for a dying fossil fuel industry. I am the one who made all this possible. Your grandfather has done this.
10 seconds.
This is what we're talking about. Final point is that the public lands belong to all Americans. The minerals, the oil, everything belongs to all Americans. It does not belong to private corporations, as the previous caller stated. So take that home to the holidays.
Thank you very much for your comments. Do you have me online? Go ahead. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, can you hear us?
Yes.
Did you want
Hello,
to...
Hello, my name is Maya Kuhn.
Okay, go ahead. You have 2 minutes.
My name is Maya Coombs, and I am a proud Alaskan and American. I also care deeply about the future of this state and nation. I followed the steps taken to open up leasing of the 1002 area of the National Wildlife Refuge, and after thorough analysis, noted this area should not even be open for leasing yet. The environmental impact statement was grossly inadequate and should be revised before any decision should be made. Evidence of this can be seen in the fact that instead of accounting for the impacts of a warming climate, this was ignored in the data but used to cover up possibilities of negative impacts on oil and gas development in that area. If you'd like more information on this, you can see the S-686 section and the 3-136 section of the environmental impact statement. Today I'm asking you to veto resolution number G-2031 because your purpose is to develop secure Alaskan economic diversification, and opening ANWR to the possibility of potential oil and gas extraction doesn't do this. $20 million has the potential to do a lot of good. Put it into a renewable energy project aimed at providing energy to rural Alaska. Our Alaskan economy is not doing well, and a component of that has to do with the constant decreasing returns to Alaska from oil. Why would you invest over half your budget into an industry with decreasing returns and high uncertainty as to the quantities accessible? It is estimated, as signaled by the Barrons.com and other reputable sources, that the actual break-even cost for extraction is between $75 to $80 per barrel, but currently the value of oil per barrel is at $50. And while this is not expected, it's not expected to rise too significantly within the next few years. With the movement toward a renewable energy-based society, this will not be worthwhile to Alaskans. The probability of oil going back to $75 to $80 per barrel rate is not something you should be investing our money into, especially at this time. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for those comments. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Scott Bell, and I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska.
Go ahead.
And go ahead.
Go ahead and give your testimony.
So I'm Scott Bell from Fairbanks, Alaska, and I oppose the move by ADA to bid on the leases. ADA is established by the legislature to promote diversifying our economy, and this is just doubling down on the fossil fuel industry. I think that $20 million would be better spent in other ways to build up our renewable sources of power. And I also think that, with the Anwar being one of the last great undeveloped areas in the world, a place where native peoples and, animals and have all interacted for thousands of years, with 5% of the wilderness in the world disappearing every decade, this becomes more and more important to protect. Because Anwar is also not just for Alaskans and Alaska animals, but it's a migratory destination for birds from 6 continents. So again, I encourage ADA to look to ways to really diversify our economy away from oil and fossil fuel extraction, and toward more renewable ways of support of the Alaska's economy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your comments. Go ahead.
Hello. My name is Stacy Frisk. I'm a resident of Fairbanks, Alaska. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you fine.
Great. I'm calling to request that you oppose the resolution to bid on leases in the 1002 area and not spend $20 million bidding on those leases. I think I support what most of the other people here have said. $20 million of state money could be much better spent to diversify our economy in numerous other ways. It is your charter to diversify the economy. I could spend several minutes here listing all of the major banks that have decided to not invest in oil development in the refuge. And I just cannot for the life of me understand why ADA would conclude that it's a good financial investment when all of these major banks have not. And I'd also like to reiterate what other people have said, that the timing of this comment call, if you can call it that, is really insulting, and that you're cutting off Native elders at 2 minutes after letting Frank Murkowski, who is just a public citizen at this point, speak at length. You are cutting off Native elders who have lived in Arctic Village at 2 minutes in the middle of their testimony and asking them to comment on a moment's notice during a pandemic the day before Christmas Eve. I think it's just a really sad indication of where we're at. But in general, please, I do support your mission to diversify the economy of Alaska, and I encourage you to investigate any number of other renewable industries that we could invest in to support the state. Thanks.
Thank you for your comments. We appreciate it. Go ahead. You're online.
Hi. My name is Nicole James. I am Gretchen Athabaskan from Fort Yukon. I just wanted to state that I don't think it's a good idea. I want to oppose. My family has depended on this, the Arctic refuge for many generations. I'm worried about what's going to happen for my children and my grandchildren and so forth. The 1002 is very sacred to my people, any kind of drilling, any kind of leasing to this land will totally disrupt the way of life for us Kwichin and other tribes, as well as our animals. That's all I have to say. I just wanted to state my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that testimony. We appreciate it. I will note that it's 5:27, and we'll take one more, please. Go ahead. Hello? Can you hear us? Hello? Anybody online?
Mr. Chairman, they might be mute.
Hello? Let's go to the next one then. This will be the last one.
Hello, this is Pam Miller. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Go ahead.
First, I'll say that the original agenda that I had the wrong entering code for this call. So I was on hold for 20 minutes trying to get on and couldn't get on and then looked again all over. So that is not part of my comment. That is a critique of the process. I would like to start my 2 minutes now.
Go ahead.
I urge you to use the fund at this time for those communities who are the urgent need of rebuilding from climate change disasters in Haines and other places, homelessness, in the COVID crisis, and renewable energy projects that can help us in the long run. I urge you to oppose ADA resolution G2031, cancel your executive session for secret talk and vote on the two confidential items, A and B. I want to put this in perspective, as Sue Dean's comments did, about the fact that the original refuge, including its coastal plain, were set apart for the refuge for the protection of fish and wildlife prior to statehood at the river. And therefore, the area was retained by the federal government as provided in the Statehood Act. In the 1950s, a key USGS leader told the people considering establishing the refuge to, quote, stay east of the Canning River and you'll be all right. If you look at the geology on the North Slope, there is not a single new oil field east of Prudhoe Bay or Endicott that is a major field. Badami flows to a trickle that's been shut on and off. We have gas, but not great quantities of oil, sitting in the ground at Point Thompson, east-west of the Canning River. The Arctic Refuge is a phenomenal place, and it should not be mortgaged to banks, as some of the discussion has proposed for ADA's use. The Arctic Refuge and waters as they are today will have far more intangible value and economic value as the real Alaskans for our citizens, indigenous people, and people across the nation and the world for upholding Kwichin and other indigenous cultures' ways of life, tourism, and for sequestering in place what carbon may exist to help solve the climate crisis. We've celebrated the Arctic Refuge's 60th anniversary since the Republican President Eisenhower's administration first established it after considerable public hearings and debate within Alaska, and Fairbanks since supported it by and large. I urge you to stop this whole process in its tracks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that comment. All right. I notice that it's 5:34. And at this time, I will close the public comment section of our agenda. And prior to going to new business, I think a couple of things need to be ordered as far as some statements based on the comments that we've gotten. So I think first thing I wrote down is that that we're rushing this. This is done in secrecy, and I say we do recognize this is accelerated timeline, but the timeline is due to a procurement process established by the federal government and beyond ADA's control. There's been no attempt to keep this resolution a secret. Our resolution that we're going to consider today is posted in a similar form as any other meeting. On December 7th, remind the board that the BLM issued a notice of sale and that it would be accepting bids between December 21st and 31st, 14 days later. And then BLM determined the bids would be open live stream on January 6th. I would also like to say that from our perspective, to consider this resolution, regardless of the final outcome, that legally, LADA can submit a bid. ADEM does meet the qualifications to bid upon BLM's detailed statement of sale qualifications. According to Statute 44.88-830.85, ADA has the authority to undertake an investment-like bidding on these leases under the Arctic Infrastructure Development Fund. Ultimately, the legislator established the fund in anticipation of investment opportunities such as this. I'd like to make sure that's on the record before we go into executive session, and that I look for any other comments from other board members. Albert?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I appreciate all the comments. I wrote down every single person's name and their what they addressed during their comment period, and I appreciate it. I also read all of the 300-plus comments that came in via email through our executive director, and again, I appreciate all of those. Some things that I want to go over here is this resolution is specifically what ADA was designed for, was for economic development in this state. And I heard a lot about renewable energy as being an alternative. And I will let you know that ADA's sister organization, Alaska Energy Authority, does such renewable energy projects. And we have a list of dozens of shovel-ready renewable energy projects that were fought with tooth and nail by environmental groups with as well. So for those people that want to diversify the economy, there's a way to diversify the economy, but we're met with the same opposition. I also want to talk about that they say that we're using state funds. I would like to note that ADA has paid a dividend to the state every year since ADA has been in existence, and we have paid back in full the amount of seed money that the legislature gave to us, and we are now giving money as a dividend to the general fund. So no state money. This is the public corporation's money going to pay for these leases. One of the other things they talk about is investing the money in other businesses. I'll have you know, I sit on the budget and audit subcommittee, and we talk about loans every day that this organization makes. And right now, we are invested in over half a billion Alaskan businesses in the amount of loans that we give to Alaskan businesses. So we are definitely diversifying the economy in Alaska by investing in multiple different industries. I could go on and on and on, but I think one of the things that Governor Murkowski says and that our congressional delegation says best is we're a resource state. And that's what we were brought into the union for, and we need to do that because there's nothing in this state that can replace resource development. And so where else would you want to do resource development? Because everybody needs it, from their iPhones to their cars to the batteries in their electric vehicles. You need resource development, period. How do you think you charge your batteries in those electric vehicles? So where else would you rather do resource development? In China or India, where they just throw waste into the water, they just tear mountains apart and leave it that way. Here in Alaska, we do it first class. We take care of the environment while doing resource development. And so I'll be voting in favor of this resolution, so you can put that on the record, because I believe resource development is our future, and that's the way to diversify our economy. A stronger resource development industry will trickle down into the other industries in Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Albert. I would like to call on Stefan, our attorney, to talk to the subject in the executive session. Stefan?
Thank you, Chair. This is Stefan Saldana, Assistant Attorney General from the Alaska Department of Law. I'd like to make some brief comments about the Alaska laws, in particular Open Meetings Act, that pertain to executive session.
Please speak up, Stefan.
Alaska Statute 4462.310 lists the subjects that may be discussed in executive session of an ADA board meeting. In particular, in this case, two of those subjects may occur during this executive session. And let me just read those the wording in the specific statute out. Number one, the following subjects may be considered in an executive session: matters the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the public entity, here being ADA. Another is matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be confidential. This, for example, in this case, may include certain information subject to confidentiality protections or privilege, such as confidential business information, deliberative process privilege, balance of interests principle. I would also note that no action may be taken during an executive session except to give direction to an attorney or labor negotiator regarding the handling of a specific legal matter or pending labor negotiations. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. Is there further comment from board members? Julie, Anna, Julie, Bernie. I don't see anybody raising their hand. So, Mr. Chair, I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session.
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I move that the board enter into executive session to discuss confidential matters related to a potential new project for the Arctic Infrastructure Development Fund. This is supported by the Open Meetings Act, Alaska Statutes 44-62-310, which allows the board to consider confidential matters in executive session. In this case, the board believes that these are subjects which would have an adverse effect upon the finances of ADA or are protected by law due to the rules protecting personal privacy and certain business information.
This is Bill Kindig. I second.
Thank you. Thank you, Albert. Thank you, Bill. Is there any objection to going to executive session? Seeing none, we are now in executive session. Are we back on? Can everybody hear me? Bernie, Fairbanks, Big Lake, Juneau, Ketchikan? All good?
Yes.
Yes.
Julie? Big Lake? Crank it up a little bit. Crank on that phone.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. All right.
I hear Ketchikan. I can hear her in the stainless steel sink right now. I hear it.
All right. So I move that we're after executive session, and I will advise the board to not take any formal action on the matters discussed while in the executive session. Brings us back to our agenda for this evening. And under six, under new business, item B, is resolution G20-31 for the funding of the Arctic Infrastructure Development Fund. And I'll turn to Executive Director for his discussion on that resolution.
This is Alan Weissner. Mr. Chairman, before the board is resolution number G2031, resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority relating to the evaluation and potential submission of bids for the Coastal Plain Alaska Oil and Gas Lease Sale. Mr. Chairman, what I would like to do is read into the record a statement on the staff's request for the resolution. The Arctic National Wildlife Refuge was established by ANILCA on December 2, 1980, designating roughly 19.3 million acres in the North Slope. Section 1002 of ANILCA specifically excluded the coastal plain from a wilderness designation, setting aside 1.56 million acres for the study of its natural resources in recognition of the area's potential for oil and gas resources. Pursuant to Section 1002 of ANILCA, the Secretary of the Interior was required to conduct, and I'm quoting, an analysis of the impacts of oil and gas exploration, development, and production, and to authorize exploratory activity within the coastal plain in a manner that avoids significant adverse effects on the fish and wildlife and other resources. Additionally, Section 1002C sub D of ANILCA required the Secretary to analyze the potential impacts of oil and gas exploration, development, and production on such wildlife habitats, and Section 1002C sub E of ANILCA required the Secretary to analyze the potential effects of such activities on the culture and lifestyle, including subsistence, of affected native and other peoples. Section 1003 of ANILCA prohibited oil and gas development throughout the NOR until authorized by Congress. After decades of congressional consideration and through the dedicated efforts of Alaska's administrations, legislature, and our legislative delegation, on December 22, 2017, Congress authorized the Coastal Plain Oil and Gas Lease Sale through the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, specifically Section 2001 of the Public Law 115-97. In exercising its authority over the management of federal lands, Congress directed the Secretary of the Interior, acting through the Bureau of Land Management, to establish and administer a competitive oil and gas program for the, and I'm quoting, leasing, development, production, and transportation of oil and gas in and from the coastal plain. End of quote. The statute mandates the Secretary, through the Bureau of Land Management, to conduct two lease sales by 2024, which requires that all necessary rights of way, easements for exploration, development, production, or transportation be issued, surface acres of federal land be authorized to be covered by production and support facilities, and it sets a royalty rate for leases of 16.67% to be earned by the federal government as well as the state of Alaska. The lease sales are being held pursuant to the Coastal Oil and Gas Leasing Program, with the first sale scheduled for January 6, 2021. Bids for the tracts available under the program are defined in the BLM's detailed statement of sale, as amended, and may be submitted by latest 4 p.m. December 31, 2020. There has been a long process, decades, of environmental and social cultural impact review. Most recently, with the environmental impact statement process initiated by the BLM and resulting in the record decision, which was issued on August 2020 for the coastal plains analysis. Alaskans and really all Americans have actively participated in the public review process. The BLM's record decision for the Coastal Plain Oil and Gas Lease Sale states, and I'm quoting, altogether, during the public scoping period and public review period for the draft EIS, the BLM received more than 1.8 million comment submissions, containing more than 8,000 unique substantive comments. Additionally, the BLM and the department officials met with representatives of a broad range of stakeholders, including the local and state governments, tribes, Canadian government, Alaska Native corporations, and industry and environmental organizations, and a quote within the EIS. The record decision was determined to meet its obligations under the National Environmental Policy Act, also known as NEPA, and based upon reasonably determined hypothetical development scenario, citing that at some future stage in the administration of the oil and gas program, where impacts from proposed actions are actually reasonably foreseen, in effect, if and when the BLM is presented with proposals for exploration or development, those decisions by the BLM for specific authorizations will also be subject to project-specific analysis, including compliance with NEPA and other laws. I believe it's important to note that Alaska's legislature has been a strong advocate for the responsible development of the coastal plain. Most recently in a resolution passed in March 2019 where, I'm quoting in from that resolution, the Alaska State Legislature requests that the United States Department of the Interior Bureau of Land Management in its consideration of action alternatives outlined in the December 2018 Coastal Plain Oil and Gas Leasing Program draft environmental impact statement take into account the long history of safe and responsible oil and gas development on Alaska's North Slope, the enormous benefits development of oil and gas resources in the coastal plain of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge would bring to the state and the nation, the advances in oil field technology that continue to shrink the impact area of oil and gas activities, and the support of residents from the North Slope Borough and across the North Slope of Alaska for oil and gas development in a portion of the coastal plain. End of quote from that resolution. AIDA's review is not an assessment of the environmental and social cultural impacts of the coastal plain for oil and gas development. This has already been established through the BLM's process in receiving the record of decision. Additionally, we join with Alaska state agencies and the Alaska legislature in highlighting Alaska's long and established track record of responsible resource development. Our request and assessment is focused on the public interest and economic development benefits that can be achieved by the state in AIDA participating in the bidding process. With Resolution G2031, AIDA staff is requesting authorization from AIDA's board to evaluate the tracts available and defined within BLM's detailed statement of sale, and to receive the authority to fund and encumber the Arctic Infrastructure Development Fund up to a maximum of $20 million in submitting a complying bid or bids for tracts under the lease sale. AIDA has the statutory authority to undertake this development project through the Arctic Infrastructure Development Fund through Alaska Statute 4488-800. The AIDF, as we commonly refer to, The Arctic Infrastructure Development Fund was established by the Alaska Legislature to promote and provide financing for Arctic infrastructure development and is specifically authorized to enter into lease agreements with government entities necessary to fulfill the purposes of the programs as outlined in Alaska Statute 4488-830. AIDA was established in 1967 with a mission to work with the public and private institutions to promote, develop, and advance general prosperity and economic welfare of the people of the state. In this capacity, we have been able to direct over $3 billion to the economic development of state in the state of Alaska. Our participation in the Coastal Plain Oil and Gas Lease Sale advances this mission through, one, increasing the economic development opportunity on the North Slope, two, enhancing returns to the state through increased resource development, In this case, specifically, increased oil and gas proceeds and royalties. Three, promoting new infrastructure development and sustains existing Alaska infrastructure, which includes the Trans-Alaska pipeline system. Fourth, we provide opportunities for the growth within Alaska's oil and gas sector businesses. And fifth, I believe also most importantly, is we're providing for an ongoing source of jobs for Alaskans. In closing, I would like to recognize that AIDA staff is only able to propose this opportunity related to Section 1002 through the dedicated efforts of a large number of Alaskans who have served and continue to serve in a public capacity, our agencies, our state legislature, Representative Young, Senator Sullivan, and Murkowski, the list goes on. We recommend your support of the proposed resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. So, that being said, what I'd like to do now is I'd like to get the resolution on the table for discussion.
This is Bill Kindig. I move resolution number G20-31.
This is Albert. I'll second.
Thank you. So, I'll keep my eye up here. So, for discussion from board members on the resolution before us. And since I can't see anybody that's out of town, I don't know if you're raising your hand or not. Does Fairbanks, Ketchikan, Big Lake, or Juneau have...
Well, Fairbanks...
Go ahead.
Fairbanks would like to talk about it. So the resolution that's before us, I would like to speak in favor of the resolution, but I would like to make a little comment before that. I read every bit of the testimony that we had today that was sent in, and I happen to agree with every one of the people that spoke. They talked about we need to diversify and get into renewable energy, and they talked about solar and wind and geothermal and hydro, and I 100% agree with them. And I think we need to diversify more. And I preach smokestack free by 2023. I think Alaska needs to lead this parade. But I happen to have the pleasure of sitting
is your mind ever gone blank?
Senator Stevens' office back in Washington, D.C., with the Concerned Scientists of America. And he made a commitment to them that if they helped him open ANWR, they would see renewable energy everywhere. He would promote it. But we need the money from ANWR to do that. And I agree with that philosophy. I want to see smokestack free. I totally believe that. I think Alaska should lead this parade. And I think between the state and the federal government, the money that comes from ANWR, as the senator intended, it should go towards renewables. And I think we need to work towards that. But we have to develop the money and earn the money first before we can get onto the renewables. It takes a lot of money to get there. We have an opportunity. We've worked for 40 years to have this opportunity. Lots of people have worked for this opportunity. So I totally agree with everyone that testified today, and I totally appreciate their time. And I read every one of their testimony, and I listened. And I'm a believer. But I will vote in favor of this resolution because I believe in them. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. Julie Sandy?
Thanks. Thank you very much, Chairman Cruz. You know, to echo Board Member Carl's statements, you know, I think that the board very much considered the comments that we received both in writing and that we heard tonight. Both those in favor and those opposed. You know, one thing that stood out to me was, as we discussed our mission and our responsibility, I thought a lot about the Alaska Congressional Delegation, the work that's been done by the past delegations as well as the current delegation, the work of the governors and governor's administration. And then, you know, of course, the support of exploration in the 1002 area by the legislature every session since 1997. And so, you know, I just want to assure the public we very much appreciated the comment, but I certainly do support this resolution based on the amount of work that's been done both in the past and by the current delegations and the leadership that we have now. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Julie.
This is Julie. Yes, hello, this is Julie. I would like to just make a couple comments. I am in support of this resolution. I do believe this helps further the image of Alaska as being the premier developer of our natural resources in a very environmentally conscious way. I lived here my whole life. I've worked in many industries, and I believe that whether it's managing our fisheries or managing our mining or the oil and gas industries, we have very high standards, and we do take the concerns of all communities and all the people that live in the area to heart. And I really believe that doing this will help, as Bernie has stated, provide funds to be able to further our other renewable goals. And I know that we want to do everything we can to promote and support business development. And our goal is not to take business away from the private sector that may be bidding on these tracts as well. But it's really to see how ADA can play a role in ensuring that we're able to move forward in this NO2 area. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Bill or Albert? Anna, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Board Member McKinnon here. Mr. Sherman, I just want to say that I appreciate the hundreds of people who took time during the holiday season to weigh in on this issue via email, and the people who came out today, and that meaningful public participation is something that ADA continues to strive for, and that for those who made comments suggesting otherwise, suggesting that somehow we're trying to not have people participate, I offer the following points for their consideration. BLM offered, instead of timeline, and our executive director, if he could restate that specific timeline again for those that are listening now, but that happened in December, the first week, second week of December. And the conversation started happening in Alaska specific to the lease sale before us when Governor Walker, at least on 12-9 for me, inserted an opinion piece in the Anchorage Daily News asking Alaskans to consider what the ANWR lease sale meant to each of us and for ADA to start a discussion, which I missed that part of the discussion for a while as Alaskans started to talk about it. And then on December 20th, former Governor Frank Murkowski in the community section of the Fairbanks News Miner offered another opinion that increased dialogue around this lease sale issue. So, Mr. Chairman, this is a new issue for ADA. It's an old issue for ADA in the sense that we're all Alaskans, and for decades we have talked about the prospects that lie or await employment opportunities in ANWR and the funds that would provide, both for deposit into Alaska's permanent fund, so in perpetuity that generations of Alaskans can benefit. But I just wanted to share on a personal level as a former elected official, and I'll just quote the Anchorage Daily News, an article by James Brooks on March 6th, 2019. So it's the last conversation that we've heard from the currently seated legislature, where, and I'm not going to get the vote just right, but huge majority of both the House and the Senate voted in favor of gas and oil development on the ANWR Plains and sent their comments for a federal delegation. I'm sure the President of the United States, but I don't have the resolution in front of us, but having served before, I've read those resolutions, and it goes far and wide to shout to Americans that we want to control our destiny as elected officials at a particular point in time. And if we look reflectively back on what James wrote in that article, since 1997, every 2 years the legislature takes a position on ANWR, and something has passed for decades in support of this development opportunity. Again, I just wanted to point out, and I know this is it's getting late, but we heard from Beverage Mission, Haines, Ketchikan, Sitka, Cantwell, Chipkut Bay, Anchorage, Juneau, Kenai, Wasilla, Arctic Village, Douglas, Gustavus, Seward, Homer, Fairbanks, Moose Pass, Cantwell, Goodwood, Palmer, Talkeetna, Bethel, from Chief Jerry, I think that, I'm not sure if that's Chickering, from multiple people representing the Gitchens, the Denaina people, Esther, the Denali Borough, Douglas, and even out-of-state communications from Missouri, Washington, California, Montana, Colorado, Alberta, Canada, even another country is sending us information and feedback on this. New York, Arizona, Florida, New Hampshire, and Delaware. And Mr. Chairman, the only reason I share all those different locations is that Alaska is involved in paying attention, and Alaskans are in need of hope and opportunity, jobs and money to pay for education and health services in our state. And I just thank you for bringing this to us as staff, Alan. Thank you for bringing this discussion forward. I respect all of the comments that the public has made for us. I expect meaningful public participation. I know one of our testifiers out of the Fairbanks area mentioned that that BLM, or there have been 40,000 speakers on this issue. And those 40,000 speakers, he said, were in opposition, to be clear. But another note of 1.8 million folks actually testifying during this conversation at more of a national level. So, Mr. Chairman, with all of the thoughts for a healthy environment, for responsible economic resource development, I offer my support to the resolution that we will vote on to benefit all of our people.
Thank you. Thank you, Anna. Appreciate those comments. Robert?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In addition to the comments that I made previously, I'd just like to, again, thank the folks that made all those public comments, not only in person, but in writing. Again, you know, I've read all of them and appreciate them. And there's a lot that we all agree on as Alaskans, as Americans. And one of those things is that we want a better future for our families. And my concern is that, you know, by not forwarding resource development in Alaska and America, we're just outsourcing the climate change producing emissions to other countries such as Russia and China and other Far East countries. And that's outsourcing jobs, but also money that could be made here in America to produce the diverse economy to a more green economy or a more renewable energy economy. And people don't know it, or if they don't know it, but the cell phones that they use, the clothes that they wear, the cars that they drive, the batteries that they have at their house, the light bulbs, everything takes resource development. And whether we get it here in America or unfortunately get the majority of our things over in China and the Far East, and what this pandemic has brought to light is that we're too dependent on China for too many goods, and to me that's a national security risk. So the more that we can bring back home, number one, we're going to reduce pollution worldwide, but also we're going to have security here in America. On a different front, but sort of the same thing, you know, you've heard a lot here about how we're not competing with the private sector and that the money should be spent elsewhere. I just want to speak about how ADA has also administered $282 million of much-needed funding to Alaska's small businesses due to the COVID pandemic. We put together an AK Safe Guarantee Program to work with Alaska financial institutions to give surety to loans in Alaska.
We have now done loan modifications delivering over $10 million in current term payment relief to Alaskans, which continues to rise week after week. And we are funding to pay for we continue to help businesses across the state through what I mentioned before about $500 million worth of a loan program. And just in closing, I just want to say, you know, this doesn't have to be environmentalist versus capitalists or the economy or resource development. We can do things together. And that's what we should be doing as Alaskans, coming together to solve our problems. We shouldn't be dependent on the federal government. We should be solving problems on our own. And this is the best solution to move forward and solve our own problems. So I'm in favor of this motion, as I've stated before, and we'll continue to always be an advocate for not only resource development, but for renewable energy as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Gilbert, Mr. Kendall.
Yeah, I too read through all the comments, hundreds of comments, and some of them have been addressed here that you've just heard. What jumped out at me was, can ADA legally submit a bid? And what I see is that, yes, they can. ADA meets the qualifications to bid based on BLM's detailed statement of sale qualifications. According to Alaska Statute 44.88.830.85, ADA has the authority to undertake an investment like bidding on these leases under the Arctic Infrastructure Development Fund. Ultimately, the legislature established this fund in anticipation of investment opportunities such as these. So I'll be voting in favor of the motion.
Thank you, Bill. Well, I'd like to thank everybody's comments today. I'd like to thank Alan and the staff for putting together today's meeting. I will note that the meeting was posted 5 days ago, not 48 hours ago. And I also note that the BLM gave notice on December 7th as a reminder that they would be accepting sealed bids 2 weeks later. So I appreciate staff's efforts to give us as much information as possible. I know there's a lot there, and look forward to hearing more about it. So one of the things that struck me with all the comments and whatnot is that there are people out there really care Alaskans, and I appreciate that. I appreciate them spending their time both online and on paper sending in their comments. And I hope that we've got most everybody today in the hour and a half. That is our goal, is to give as much comments as possible. And obviously, I'd like to state that if more comments come in, certainly I would encourage ADA staff to look at those. And it has to be understood what ADA's mission is, and it's to promote and develop economic opportunities, to partner with private industry. It's also to protect the sovereign rights of the state of Alaska, and we have an ability to do that today. By passing this resolution that protects those rights, protects 40 years of everybody's efforts to open up the coastal plain of Anwar, which I plan to support. Responsible development. Alaska has a stellar track record of doing that. I think more so than many states in the lower 48 that are oil producing. And I also think that at the end of the day, we as board members are more informed, more in tune, better understand what the concerns are of the public. And I take that to heart in future decisions and in my own contemplation of projects that come forward before this board. With that, I will ask Melissa to poll the board for resolution G20-31.
Ms. Sandy?
Yes.
Ms. McKinnon?
Yes.
Mr. Kendick?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Carl?
Yes.
Mr. Cruz?
Yes.
It passes unanimously.
Thank you.
thank you for everybody's help on this. Good discussion. We learned a lot. Is there future board comments under item number 7 on our agenda?
Mr. Chairman?
Anna?
Mr. Chairman, is there an advantage to have staff reach out to the state DNR to work with them in any capacity?
I would think that there's an advantage for the staff to work with anybody that has expertise in this line of business, especially Department of Natural Resources. Information and expertise that's not only would be available to us as a independent corporation, but any business that was looking for information on AMWAR. So the answer is yes. Further comments?
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I just want to say thank you again to Alan. You're doing a spectacular job here, and you're under a lot of pressure. You've got a lot of things flying at you, and I see you're bringing on additional staff members to support you, and so I just appreciate not only you but Alyssa. You guys are working overtime, and Curtis, thank you as well. And I hope you take some time off after the first of the year to enjoy yourselves a little bit and relax. Thank you.
Thank you, Albert. Further comments? Bill?
I just want to echo Albert's staff has put a lot of time in. I know Alan has and the rest of the staff, and we greatly appreciate the time you put in, especially this time of year.
Thank you. Anybody out there in the hinterland? Any board members?
Go ahead, Bernie.
Commissioner Anderson, go
Fairbank
ahead.
Fairbank comes last. Well, I'd just like to say thank you, as others have, to the staff. They have put in long hours, and I know we are all committed to the mission of ADA, and at times issues come up when it's inconvenient for many people. But the commitment of everybody, whether it's the public taking the time to call in and help share their views and share information, or the board members or the staff, I really appreciate the fact that everyone is committed to ensuring that Alaska has a bright future ahead. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Bernie? I would like to echo what everyone said, and I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Well, just hold on a minute. As the chair, I get to say I have the last word. So I'd like to thank the board members for their time today. You know, this close to the holidays, and I'd like to wish everybody Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's. And I'll also like to welcome our newest member of staff, Colleen. She's welcome to ADA, and we wish you all the best. And look forward to great things from you. I'd like to thank Stefan for being here tonight also, our attorney that keeps us straight and narrow. Alyssa, thank you for your help. I'm not going to talk about Curtis, his brand X, but other than that, Mr. Renewable. And, of course, Alan, again, I think wish you all a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And with that, I will now take a motion for adjournment.
This is Albert second.
Who did the first? Bernie?
I did.
I just put it on the record. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you, folks.